Hello and welcome to this short podcast on how to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've been to many churches and conducted meetings, and I've normally set aside Friday evenings to lead people into the experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've seen God move and use this very little teaching to bring many, many people from different parts of the world into this awesome, wonderful experience, and I pray that your faith will be lifted to believe God for this awesome experience as well. Like the elders at Ephesus, when Paul asked them if they've received the Holy Spirit since they believed in Jesus, many believers today say, "We have not so much heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." Acts chapter 19 and verse 1. Well, the Holy Spirit is real. And as one person correctly said, he's the only God on earth. By that, he means that the Father and Son are in heaven, and that the Spirit proceeds from them both, and thus is the divine agent who represents the Godhead's will and purposes on earth. The prophets, and Jesus, and the apostles had much to say about the Holy Spirit, and it would take volumes to adequately deal with the subject. But for those seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I've put together a concise report on the Spirit for you. Let us begin with 1. The promise of the baptism. The Holy Spirit was promised in the Old Testament. Joel 2:28 is just one of those verses. "And afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions." Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit baptism will follow all believers, empowering them to do ministry, and that his fullness will be evidenced with speaking in other tongues. Here is Jesus in Mark 16. "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues." Verse 17 through 18. In Luke 24 and 49, Jesus said, "And behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." 2. Initial evidence of the Spirit baptism. As promised, 50 days after Jesus' resurrection on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit arrived in Jerusalem. Acts 2:1-4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The initial evidence of the baptism of the Spirit is the ability to speak in other tongues. We see proof of this in the upper room at Jerusalem, and we see it also in Cornelius' home, the first Gentile to receive the Holy Spirit. Here is that account in Acts 10:43-46. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. Why? How did they know? For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. We see further proof in Paul laying hands on the elders at Ephesus and praying for their infilling. And here is that story, Acts 19:1-6. Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. In the mouth of 2 and 3 witnesses, every word is established, and God has given us at least 3 instances alone in the book of Acts that the initial evidence, these are people who are already saved, so it has nothing to do with salvation, it is the empowerment, and they received the baptism, and the evidence of it was that they all spoke in tongues. 3, the purpose of the Spirit baptism. Why do we need the Spirit baptism? What is the benefit of being baptized in the Holy Ghost? Well, a few quick things. 1 is personal edification. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself." To edify is to build up oneself. The implication is that we are like houses and sin has broken us down. The Spirit will rebuild us into the original image and intent God had for us at creation. Second, prayer. Romans 8:26-27 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And in Jude 20, but you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Third, worship. In 1 Corinthians 14:15, the apostle asks, so what shall I do? I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. So worship, like prayer, we pray both in the understanding and in the spirit. Fourth is praising God. In 1 Corinthians 14:16-17, he says, if you are praising God with your spirit, how can one who finds himself among those who do not understand say amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you're saying? Well, this is kind of given as a prohibition against praying in tongues in public, your devotional tongues, that is. And he's saying, well, people there will not understand what you're saying, and so they will not be able to say amen. Fifth, giving thanks to God. 1 Corinthians 14:17 says, you may be giving thanks, but the other man is not edified. So again, it is not for public, but for your private devotional purposes. Fourth, the gift of tongues is different from spirit baptism. It is probably not news to you that evangelicals have been hammering charismatics and Pentecostals over the validity of the tongues experience. One reason for the confusion is their inability to comprehend that a gift of tongues, as in 1 Corinthians 12, is not the same as the devotional gift of tongues that comes with the infilling or baptism of the Spirit. The devotional tongues remain with us and can be used anytime. The gift, on the other hand, operates when the Spirit desires, but is often followed by its twin, the gift of interpretation of tongues. And fifth and finally, how to receive this baptism. It is not as complicated as you think. One, present your body to Him. Romans 12:1-2. Understand that your will is not being taken over. You will always be in control. Second, ask for the Holy Spirit. In Luke 11:9-11, Jesus said, if you ask, the Father will give the Holy Spirit to you. And third, receive the Spirit by faith and then begin to speak. It is just that simple. And you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you will be edified, and you will have a direct line to heaven. Your life will be transformed and empowered by this awesome gift. God bless you.